If you'll open your Bible to page 1047. 1047. You say, what rule did you just break? I never ask you to do anything except not snore while I talk. That's all I ask you to do. You never sing out loud. You don't, you know, you just don't snore. Well, last week, John and I, we just took some vacation and went over to East Tennessee, to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, where Dottie and I have gone for all of our married life. And we just wanted to get away and kind of refresh ourselves and renew ourselves. And so I told John, I said, if you'll go, I'll get you your own room. You won't have to room with me. He perked up on that. And I said, now it will be a connecting room where we can go back and forth. He said, will there be a door that we can keep each other out? I said, there will be two doors, one on both sides. Like you can open my door, but see, I can't get in his room if he doesn't open his room. You know those things. And he said, okay, if you'll just let me have to 1 o'clock every day before we connect. I said, deal. Because I'm a real early getter-upper, and he likes to have his own time, his own way. And so, you know, it was just a marvelous time. So during one of my mornings, as I was, instead of walking through the trails at that time, I was actually in the town going in these shops, and I went into this one shop. It sells ski things, like clothing, ski. You know, if you ski, it just all the accessories that go with ski. I'm just looking around all that stuff, and I picked up this one garment, and what caught my attention, I want to read it to you. It in big, bold, black type on a little thing attached to the garment, it said, warning. I thought, what in the world is this? It said, this innovative product will make you want to go outdoors and stay there. Now, see, you know, we talk about all-weather clothing. Like, when we lived in Tennessee, you had winter clothing and you had non-winter clothing. And I was raised that way in Georgia. You had seasons. Here, we just have seasons in a day sometime, but I mean, you don't have to go buy winter clothing here. You buy all year round stuff and you can wear it. But when you go over in that part of the country, and when it does turn cold, you've got to have some clothes to get along with that. And the truth is, you know, if a person is properly clothed in really cold weather, they not only can survive out there in that, you can do okay in that. And when I saw that little thing, warning, this innovative product will make you want to go outdoors and stay there, I thought, well, what a way to sell all-weather clothes to a part of our country that would, you know, need to have winter clothes as well as summer clothes. Well, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, it's kind of the same in our spiritual lives. Like, we need to put on all-weather spiritual clothes. And I want you to look with me because the Bible really deals with this in a very wonderful way in the book of Colossians. If you look in Colossians chapter number 3, I wish we really had time to read more than we do. This is a fantastic book, this little short book of Colossians, one of Paul's letters, and just like the book of Ephesians. Paul's letters, like in Ephesians, Colossians especially, they kind of divide up like the first part of the book deals with doctrine, teaching. And the second part of the book deals with our duty, like practical living. Like, for example, in Colossians chapters 1 and 2, they're only these four chapters in this little book. Chapters 1 and 2, it's like doctrine, teaching. It's theology. We'll call it that way. But then in chapters 3 and 4, it's all about how this doctrine is to work itself out in real life. It's the practical part of the book. So if you read Ephesians, the first three chapters would be the doctrine part, the duty. This is what we're told to do. And then in chapters 4, 5, and 6 in Ephesians, it would be the practical part, how you apply all this to your daily life. Well, it's the same deal here. So we're in chapter 3, so we're over in the practical section. And look with me in verse 1. We'll work our way here where we try to go. It says, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, one of my favorite, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And so we go into this section here, and then in this first part, he begins to talk about things that we're to put off. You know, in the clothing metaphor that I'm thinking about today, he's talking about things that we're to put off. Verse 7 says, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off. And here comes a list of things to put off. Anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy language, etc. It goes on down through that. But now go with me to verse number 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, in other words, as believers, holy and beloved, and then here's things that we're to put on. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Not should do, could do, must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You know, the NIV translates that. I brought my little NIV along today, verse 14. It translates it. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. And that word love is the agape, God kind of love, because that love takes, just kind of puts all this together and makes it complete. Now, what I thought we would do today, we obviously don't have time today to deal with all of these, but let's deal with a couple of them, the little time we have. And the whole background here is, Paul is saying, because of what God has done for all of us in and through Jesus Christ, here is how we should respond to that. This is what we can do. We can begin to put on these things in our life. And let's just deal with the first couple of them. Our translation says, therefore, as elect of God, put on tender mercies. Tender mercies. Now, you say, what's that talking about? Well, the NIV translates that really in a better way. It translates that word compassion. In other words, one of the things that we as Christians are to put on and have about us is compassion. And the word, the actual word itself, denotes trying to understand what a person is going through as best you can. You know, the compassion, you know, a third cousin to that word would be sympathy. That'd be a bad translation of the word. You know, sympathy is somewhat the idea, but, you know, you can have sympathy for a person and it can kind of stop there. Well, compassion doesn't stop there. Compassion means you try to get on the level and understand what a person is going through as best you can. Compassion is simply caring about other people. Compassionate people. Compassionate people. Now, you know, when you think about that, if you've been through something and someone else is going through something similar, I think you can better understand it than you can if you've never been through that. But having said that, you don't necessarily have to go through something to have compassion for people that are going through something you've not been through. And we've seen so much of that, like in the flood. Like, all of us did not have water come in our house. But some of you and many others, I was with someone last night, I think they said the water over Memorial area. I said, did your house flood? And he said, oh, did it? I said, well, how deep did it get? He said, well, I have a one-story house, and it went to the ceiling. I said, wow. I said, you lost everything. He said, we lost. He said, we put a few papers in the attic before we had to get out. Well, I did to hear him say that. Now, we didn't have a flood in our house, but many of our people have. You care about people. And I don't have to say, well, you know, if I don't get flood in my house, I'm not going to care about people who not had a flood. Well, I think if you've been through it, you might have a new dimension, you understand that. But at the very same time, as a Christian person, we are to have compassion for other people, for what they're going through, and try to be understanding in that. Now, you know, I hear sometimes people say, especially, I think this would be a good example. Like one widow lady will say to a new lady who's just become a widow lady, I understand exactly what you're going through. Now, I understand what that lady's saying, but that lady, she really doesn't. Now, she understands it better than I do. But see, where the breakdown of that comes, this widow lady and her relationship with her husband would not be exactly the same as this lady and relationship she had with her husband. Now, it is true, they're both going through a lot of the same things. But I say that to say, you know, we never really do know exactly what a person is feeling, even though we may have some idea of that. But there's no two situations are the same. But it's a beautiful thing to see people that are compassionate, and it's one of the great blessings. And this is why God says this is something that we are to put on. It's a beautiful thing here. Tender mercies, compassion. I saw a wonderful example this last night. I shall not call any names, but we were in the emergency room last night at the hospital, seeing about a person, and another person was there that I had talked to. That was fact of the matter. I talked to both of these same people the same day. I mean, that's an ironic thing. In fact, person one, let me say it this way, who was the person in the emergency room, had called me to let me know about a need of a friend of his that would be a friend of mine as well. We'll call that person two. And so I had called person two to say, person one called me today and let me know, and that person shared with me what all they're going through, a lot of stuff. Well, I know that as the day went on, the night came on, Dottie and I'd wind up in the hospital, in the emergency room. Person one's in the emergency room, and person two and his wife are there. Now, the truth is, person two, physically, is in about the same or worse shape than person one. Person two probably wasn't really physically able to go to the hospital. His wife probably helped him do that. But the relationship, very strong relationship. And as I was thinking about that, even this morning, I thought, now, isn't that a tremendous example? I'm talking about compassion. I saw a real good picture of that last night. A person that just cared about the need of another person enough to be somewhere they probably physically didn't have the strength maybe to be. And it just blessed me. So, you know, I just hope I can always be compassionate. I'll share this, and I think Dottie and I both would agree with this. You know, and John speaks of his cancer that he's had removed from time to time. And so if he does, then I feel okay to say something about it. I've always had a tender heart toward anybody sick, but toward cancer. My mother died of cancer, a horrible death of cancer. But I cared about people and cancer before that, but only when John himself had cancer did I really something. Well, thank God that's gone. Thank God that's gone. But through that, you know, I just... When you go through something, it's different than when you've just heard about it. Could I have an amen to that? And that just gave me a deeper, can I say it that way, compassion. And I sometimes refer to my cancer prayer group, like I do have 6 or 7 people, and Dottie has the same people. And we both individually and sometimes together pray for those same people. But like, now I've always prayed for people that had cancer, but I have a special compassion. You know, there's an old saying that I do believe is true. Whatever you wish had never happened to you is your ministry. That's a good saying. Things that you wish had never happened. Like Dottie, may I say, a year ago, can I give God glory? A year ago today, Dottie had her knee replacement. A year ago today. We went this morning to celebrate. I wanted to go to McDonald's, and she insisted we go to Starbucks. McDonald's for us, senior coffee, $1.49 for two. Oh my gracious. But anyway, we went. But seriously though, since you had a knee, now we've always cared about had knee, but now when we hear, like one of our members today, Janet Evans, is having knee replacement. We must pray that I'm sure that surgery is over now, but for therapy. But like people, if they're having something you've been through, you just have a different level of compassion. You don't have to have it. Well, I'll leave it there. I hope in the hurriedness of life and all, may we never lose our compassion. I really think that's how I'll know when to retire, when I quit caring about people. I believe that'll be a way. You know, if you don't care about people, you wouldn't be much good pastoring a church. But if we're not careful, and it happens so often, people get to caring so much about themselves, they don't really have much compassion. But let's move on. This second thing, let's deal with it. We may deal with some of these others next week, we'll see. But one more today. I love this second thing on the list, kindness. Kindness. Now you say, well, you know, what does that word denote? It means being adaptable to the needs of others. It's a willingness to change in order to meet the needs of other people. It's the opposite of selfishness, kindness. You know, so, you know, a person's a kind person. Let me ask you a question. How many kind people do you know? Well, we all know some kind people. I know some kind people, but I'll tell you what, I don't know too many of them. And I'm not sure I'm always kind. I mean, we're all human, but I want to be kind. But this is something we're to put on. So, you know, it takes some effort on our part. I mean, there are some hard people out there to be kind to. Could I have an amen to that? But that's all right. But this is why the Bible's telling us what the Bible says. It says, because of what God has done in Christ for you, here's some things you need to put on. Tender mercies, compassion, and kindness. You know, the philosophy today of many people is very simply, what is mine, and I'm going to keep it, and what is yours is mine, and I'm going to get it. That's right. This is the world in which we live. That's called selfish. Selfish, you know. And you see it all the time. You even try to go down Fairmont, and every time I go down it, there's another lane's closed. It didn't all this work. And today, I was in a lane, and I didn't know, but when I got down farther in the lane, they had these barrels, which meant I had to come over. I tell you what, I sat there a long time before some dear soul finally did this and let me know to come over. The others saw me trying to come over, had my blinker on. I was looking back, and they just gunned it. I said, boy, I wish they'd come to my Tuesday Bible lunch today, but they're not going to be coming. They're hurrying to Tuesday Bible lunch today. Well, these are things. I want to encourage you. We may come back to this list next week. I'll ponder that. But this is a beautiful portion of it. Put on. Put on. See, we have to take some initiative. This stuff does not just happen. Put on tender mercies, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and all these kind of things. Now, every morning, I want to dress well. I don't mean to be the best dressed man, but I want to represent God. I don't want to look like a slouch. So I want to dress well. So what do? Well, I go in the closet and I look at the clothes situation. Well, actually, I do this the night before. Dottie will tell. If she wasn't here, I would. I decide the night before normally what I'm going to wear the next day and lay it out. Because I don't like to have to get up in the morning thinking about those kind of things. I mean, okay. But you look in the closet and you say, well, that would look nice, and that would look nice, and that would look, okay. But here's the deal. That's step one. But the stuff doesn't jump off the hanger. I mean, you have to actually take it off the hanger, and then you have to put it on. No matter how it is in the closet, if you want to dress well, all of you, all of us, that's what has to happen. It's the very same thing here. The clothes are not going to jump off the shelf or the hanger and jump on the body. You have to put them on. This might be a good illustration. I got fully dressed today, Dottie gave testimony, and I just was completely unsatisfied with what I had. And I had her to try to help me. And finally, she had a great idea. She always has great ideas. But anyway, she said, if I were you, you're very unhappy with the suit you've put on. You've tried everything in the world to be happy with it. You're miserable with it. You just ought to take the thing off and put on another suit. And I said, well, Donnie, to do that, I have to take off my shoes. And she had the most insightful thought. She said, if I were you, I'd take off my shoes and change my suit. And I did. And I put my other suit on. And it's not my best suit, but it fits better than the other suit. And I brought my other suit down to the church. She said, why are you taking the thing to the church? And I said, well, I like to have a spare suit down there in case I tear my trousers or my zipper breaks. I always like to have a spare in my office of a shirt. And I said, but may I never have to put this suit on again. It was horrible. But you know what? As I look at this list here, if you go back early in this chapter, these things we had to put off: anger, wrath, malice. Some mornings, all of us probably would do well to put off some spiritual clothing we're wearing and put on some new spiritual clothing that we read about here. Father, that's so true. God, these aren't rocket scientist things. They're really not. They're just practical things, God. The truth is, we can't all sing like Jimmy, and we can't all do a lot of things. But God, with the Holy Spirit living in us, and your anointing upon us, if we'll be serious about you and what your word teaches, we can be caring, compassionate, kind people. Now, we may need to put off some things. We may need to change clothes. And it may not be easy. We have to take our shoes off and then get redressed. But that's okay. We'll sure feel better when we do. Help us to wear some good, all-weather spiritual clothing. Because, God, life is kind of like the weather. Things can be going along great, and the next thing you know, a storm can come. The rain can come. The wind can blow. Life's that way. But, God, if we are properly clothed spiritually, we'll be okay in all of it. Bless us today as we journey through this day. Bless each one here, God. Give safety and protection in what we do. Make us a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.